Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. I'm so glad that you've joined me today for another exciting lesson from God's Word. We're in the midst of our teaching series called The Return of the King. For the last few weeks, we've been studying about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God has been speaking to your heart to get ready for His return. You know, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is such an important topic. It's sad that many churches today are not preaching about His second coming any longer. It seems so many people today are focused on material blessings. We're busy chasing prosperity and healing and miracles and prophecies. Yet listen, friends, all those things that we chase after in this life are just temporary. They're going to pass away so quickly. But the coming of the Lord will usher us into eternity, and eternity lasts forever. So we need to settle down and get serious about our preparations for His coming. See, if you're worried about getting a nice home here on this earth, you should be much more concerned about securing your heavenly home. If you're so consumed in getting blessed and being successful in this life, you should be even more interested in being successful in the life to come. And if you're hungry for a prophecy to guide you in this life, then you should be even more hungry to understand the prophecies that will affect you for eternity. That's why I've been teaching on the return of the King. In our first lesson, we studied about God's plan of redemption. You see, the Lord Jesus came the first time to redeem us from sin in this life. And He's coming the second time to complete His redemption of our lives. When He comes again, there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more pain, no more hunger, no more enemies, deception. It's going to be fantastic. Then last week, we studied on the rewards that Jesus will bring when He comes. You can build for eternity when you follow the instructions in God's Word, which I shared last week. Now, if you happen to miss any of these programs, please remember to visit my website at www.revrcw.com. There you can watch all the past episodes of Revelation, and you can also obtain for free all the teaching notes and study guides for these important lessons. Well, today we're continuing studying about the return of the King by looking at the sign of His coming. See, friends, we don't need to be taken unaware by the coming of our Lord. He gave us signs of His return so that we could get ourselves ready. So let's begin by reading the words of Jesus as found in Matthew chapter 24. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know at what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when Jesus comes again. So we need to ask ourselves today, what was it like in the days of Noah? How are the days of Noah like our days today? Well, to be frank, I don't know because I wasn't there. Believe it or not, I'm not that old. There are no videos or DVDs about Noah's day. There are no pictures from that time. But fortunately for us, the Bible does tell us three things about Noah's day. And as we study these three things, we can see these three things in our day as well. So let's look carefully at three ways that today is like the days of Noah. And here's the first one. there is a great deception. You see, the Bible says in verses 38 and 39 that the people knew nothing about the end of their world. They knew nothing about the flood. They went about their business as if they had 100 years to live. They weren't concerned about the future. They were deceived. And you see, God had clearly announced the flood. So the fact that they were deceived was their own fault. He wasn't keeping it a secret. He told Noah, and Noah was in the middle of building the ark. In fact, the Bible says Noah preached to other people. And anyone who was interested could have come around and seen that Noah was getting ready. But they didn't know because they were deceived. You see, they thought they had lots of time to prepare, but it was only a matter of days till they all died. Why were the people in Noah's day deceived? It was because of the sin that was so common in that day. The Bible tells us that Noah's day was full of evil. Listen to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And friends, sadly, it's exactly like this today as well. People are living life on this earth as if it will last forever. Men are rushing around doing business, getting married, and ignoring the return of the King. Most people act today as if Jesus will never come back. Yet the Bible gives us many, many clear warnings about the return of the King. In fact, for every one prophecy in the Bible about Jesus' first coming, there are 8 prophecies about His second coming. People have been warned today just like they were in the days of Noah, but they still ignore the signs. And just like as in the days of Noah, men today are deceived by sin. They can't see the warning because sin has blinded their eyes. In Noah's day, evil was everywhere, and so it is today too. These end times are full of evil. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, "People in the end will be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and brutal." And friend, if we're honest, we can say that all of these signs are visible all around us. And the fact is, sin deceives man. You see, today, many millions of souls are deceived because they're caught up in sin. How else does sin deceive us? Well, secondly, we center our lives on ourselves instead of God. We become focused on our own pleasure and gain rather than on serving the Lord. In the church today, this is one of the tragedies that we see all around the world. People, even in the churches, are more interested in getting ahead and getting blessed and getting their miracle and getting their prophecy, and they're ignoring their duties to worship God, to win souls, and to live holy lives. For you see, sin deceives us also by making us focus on the here and now rather than the hereafter. We're rushing after material goods, but we don't work for eternity. The Bible says in Noah's day, men were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. We all eat and drink, and marriage is certainly not bad. But when our entire focus is on those things, we miss God. When all of our life is consumed in this world and its activities, then we neglect God's salvation. And here today, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, where God speaks to us, how will we escape if we don't pay attention to God's great salvation? The King James Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And friend, it doesn't say if we reject salvation. It doesn't say if we deny salvation. It simply says if we neglect it or ignore it or don't give it the attention it deserves, then we will not escape. One time I traveled from my home and I left some food in the kitchen. I thought it was going to be safe until I came back. But when I came back, it was molded and rotten. I had to take all the food and throw it away. It was spoiled simply by neglect. And as great of the salvation that God has given to us, when we neglect our relationship with God, we will not escape His judgment, for it will mean that we are unprepared for His return. Friends, the great deception is as strong today as it was in the day of Noah. We're consumed with sin. We're consumed with our daily activities. And so we've begun to neglect spiritual things and concentrate on earthly things. Are you deceived today, my friend? Have you been duped by sin? If you think you can sin and escape the judgment of God, you are deceived. If you think that it's more important to chase after material possessions than it is to chase after God, then you are deceived. If you think it's better to grab for yourself and ignore the needs of others, then you are deceived. If you think you can delay your salvation to a more convenient time, then you are deceived. If you think you can neglect your spiritual life, then you are deceived. Friend, it's time to wake up, shake off the deception of sin, and come alive to Jesus Christ. For you see, the great deception is leading us to the great separation. That's the second way our day is like the days of Noah. The second way our day is like the days of Noah is that there is a great separation taking place. In Noah's day, the righteous were separated from the wicked. Suddenly, the flood came and separated these two groups of people. Sinners were swept away in the flood, but Noah and his family were saved in the ark. And so it will be when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, suddenly there will be a great separation. Those who are ready for his return will be raptured and caught up in the heavens and taken to be with Christ. But those who are not ready will be left behind to await the judgment of God upon the world. Friends, God has always separated his people. In Noah's time, he separated his people and saved them in the flood. In the days of Lot, he separated Lot and his daughters from the people of Sodom and their judgment. In Israel's time, he separated the nation of Israel from all the other nations. And in our day today, God is working to separate his people from sin. There is coming an ultimate separation that will last for eternity. For the Bible tells us when Christ comes again, God will separate his people from sinners. Listen to Matthew 25, 32. The Bible says all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But how can we know which side we'll be on? How can we know which group we're going to belong to in the separation? We'll look again at Matthew 24. When Jesus said that two men would be in the field and two women would be grinding, he's talking about common, ordinary tasks. Jesus didn't give us any outward sign that would show a distinction between the two men, the one who was taken and the one left, or between the two women, the one that was taken and the one left. So what is the difference between them? It was not in their activities, but in their hearts. Both men were in the field. Both women were grinding, but the difference wasn't seen outwardly. It was seen inwardly. And when God calls us to separation, he's not asking us to be removed from this world and its daily activities. Rather, he's asking us to separate ourselves unto holiness and to sanctify ourselves in our lifestyle and our conduct. God calls us to separation, as we see in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Listen to verse 17. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. What does it mean to be separated unto God? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We work in jobs alongside unbelievers, but we live for Christ in our hearts. We study at school next to unbelievers, but we separate ourselves from sin and live unto God. We may sell in the market surrounded by sinners, but Christ's presence lives in us and we live for him. Whether in the workplace, in the school, in the market, or at home, we are a people separated for God's holy purposes. Amen. See, friends, what is common in the world should be uncommon in the church. We're called to live differently. We're called to live holy. It may be common in the world to cheat your employer, but God calls us to work honestly. It may be common in the world to have sexual relations with your fiancé, but God calls us to abstain from sex till after marriage. It may be common in the world to divorce and remarry, but God calls us to be faithful to our spouse. It may be common in the world to hold a grudge and refuse to forgive, but God calls us to forgive others even as we are forgiven. It may be common in the world to lie and cheat and steal, but God calls us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It may be common in the world to side with friends and go along with the crowd, but God calls us to an uncommon life, to take His side and follow His way. He calls us to be separate in our lifestyle, in our thinking, in our speaking, in our conduct. And we have only two choices, to be a friend of the world or a friend of God. There are only two roads, only two paths, the broad and wide road that leads to destruction or the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. There are only two destinies, to either be lost or saved. And at the return of the King, there will be a great separation. Many years ago, there was a tragic plane crash, and all the families of those who were on the plane were called to come to the airport. A few people on the plane survived, but many were killed. When the families began to gather at the airport, they were brought into a large waiting room, and there they sat, waiting anxiously for news of their loved ones. Did my brother live or die? Was my mother killed or is she alive? And in this room, the airline put up two big signboards. On the one side of the room, they put a signboard that said, "Lost." And on the other side of the room, they put a signboard that said, "Saved." One by one, as the people in the airplane that had crashed were brought out, those that were dead were identified and their names were written on the signboard that said "Lost." And someone from the airline would come in and write the name of a body on the board under the word "lost." And suddenly the relatives of that person would see their loved one's name written and they'd cry and shout, "No, no, not my brother, not my mother, not my daughter." But then a little while later, an airline employee would come in and they would write the name of someone who had been rescued from the plane crash. They wrote it on the board that said "saved." And when they would come and write the name of someone who'd survived the crash, suddenly all the relatives of that person would begin to shout and rejoice. "Oh, my son is alive. My husband has survived. My wife is saved." There were many different people on the plane. Some were wealthy businessmen. Some were just ordinary students. But there was no list for wealthy businessmen or students. There was no list for the important political people or those that were just on a casual tour. There was no distinction except for this: lost or saved. There was a famous actor on the plane and a popular singer, but there was no list for actors and singers, only lost or saved. There was a politician on the plane and a lawyer on the plane, and there were pastors on the plane. There were students and children, applicants and workers, but there were only two lists, lost and saved. And the separation that took place that day was between those who were lost and those who were saved. That's how it will be on the day of separation when Jesus comes again. No matter your position in this life, no matter how wealthy you are, or no matter your occupation or your popularity, there are only two lists, lost and saved. When Jesus comes again, He comes to separate the saved from the lost. And you can separate yourself unto God now and be saved, or God will separate you from Himself later on and you will be lost. The choice is yours. It's a choice to either ignore the signs of His coming or to prepare yourself and be ready to join Him in eternity. And that brings us to our third truth today. The third thing that makes Noah's day similar to our day is this: there is a great preparation. You see, the world in Noah's day was unprepared, but Noah and his family were not unprepared. They were ready. In the end times, most people will be unprepared. Christ's second coming will catch them by surprise. But it doesn't need to be like that for you. We can all be prepared. We can be ready. In fact, Jesus told us in Luke 21:36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. How can we prepare for His coming? We've got to avoid the deception of sin. We've got to separate ourselves from the world. We've got to watch and pray and involve ourselves in spiritual activities of seeking God so that our hearts will be ready to meet Him. For 1 John 3:2-3 says, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So friend, listen, if you believe in His second coming, if you're hoping for His return, if you're watching and waiting for the return of the King, then you will purify yourself. You'll make sure you're pure and clean, just as Jesus Himself is pure and clean. That's why it tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How can you prepare for the return of the King? Put away sin. Focus on eternity. Be a part of this world, but don't be consumed in this world. Live a life that is holy, separated unto God. Watch and pray. Today is a day for you to examine your life. As we focus on the return of the King, this is a time for all of us to prepare our hearts for His return. But you see, friend, as I've been praying about Revelation, I had the move of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to preach to you on the second coming. Because I believe God wants you to prepare yourself for His return, to purify yourself so that you can be ready, to separate yourself now so that when He comes again, He will separate you from this world of destruction and take you to be with Him. So if sin has crept into your life, today is a day to repent and make a clean start. If you've been neglecting your salvation and your spiritual life, today is a day to rededicate yourself to Christ. If you've been indecisive about following the crowd to do sin or following Jesus to live holy, then today is a day to make a new decision to separate yourself from the crowd and live for God. Is there a sin you need to confess today? Is there an offense you need to forgive? Is there any apology you need to make? Is there something you stole that you need to return? Is there a relationship you need to end? Is there a command from God you need to obey? Then do it. Do it today. Repent of your sin. Forgive those who've sinned against you. End ungodly relationships. Make the apology that you need to do. Get your life right with God so that you can be ready for His return. Don't be like the people in Noah's day who were unprepared, deceived, but rather be like Noah and his family, set apart for God's purposes. Then you'll be with Him forever when He comes. May God richly bless you as you obey His word.